Hi, and welcome again to another episode of the Real Talk Real Estate Show. And I'm your host, David Huffman, here today. And today I'm actually joined by one of my students that I've had the privilege of working with over the last several years. And I look forward to kind of, you know, in today's show, really my whole entire goal is to, you know, if you're one of those agents that has been in the business for a while, maybe, and you've had those struggles, you're like, man, I just feel like I'm just kind of going through the motions every single year. I've hit 10 years, I've hit 15 years, I've hit 20 years in the business. Should I be doing something else? Well, today's show is something that you're definitely going to want to listen into and learn from as well. Robin's been in the business for about 30 years there in Southwest Colorado in Cortez, which is just west of Durango, I believe. And so she'll be able to share kind of what she's done over the last couple of years to be able to kind of reignite herself and her business to where now she's actually having the best years in her career. So without further ado, I will welcome Ms. Robin Rice. Hey, Robin, thanks again for joining me here. I know you're busy, so we'll work on getting this done as quickly as possible, but thank you for taking the time. Excuse me. Thank you for taking the time today to talk to our listeners.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right, Robin. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you've been in the business for a total of 30 years, correct? Is that about how long?
Actually, a little bit longer.
Really? Okay.
To tell people that, but it's right. It's now become more of an enjoyment than just a job.
So let's talk about the first 30 years, let's say, you know, before maybe over the last couple of years that you and I have been working together, you know, kind of describe that career over those first 30 years. If you were to kind of sum up that whole entire time period, you know, give us a little bit of your experiences and kind of the things that you kind of started to struggle with there. That you eventually, of course, reached out for coaching. But, you know, kind of explain to the listeners a little bit as far as what kind of a business you had for those first 30 years.
Well, I mean, obviously, I didn't grow up thinking I was going to be a realtor. I married my husband, Ed, and his dad was a realtor in the Denver area. So he actually got me into real estate, and he was a great mentor. A lot of he was big on education and created classes within the organization himself. So it was a great launch. Then, of course, we moved to a small town because we like small towns. So my business has always been in small rural communities. And of course, those are quite limited in the amount of business and the amount of price range that you can go into. So over the 30 years, I'd say I was probably always a good listing agent, hitting 30 to 40 listings, sales a year, but the income was always pretty low, right around $40,000 a year to $60,000 a year. But over the last 8 years, that has really risen. And of course, like you said, a lot of that's been attributed to having a coach.
Yeah, so, you know, over the last 8 years, I mean, what happened 8 years ago? Because obviously I didn't know you 8 years ago, and that's really where that kind of that motivation really kind of started for you. What made you make that decision that you're ready to make that change, and you're kind of done with the way that 40 to 60,000 in income, or what really kind of changed in your life to make you want to kind of push harder?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things. I was still in a much smaller community of about 800 people, and I was
very small.
Yeah, very small. I had the ability to drive a little bit further to increase that. So I had some of that going on, but we lived in a small town. But anyway, 2008, I think 2008 was my year. I went home one night to Ed and I said, I've got to make a change. I said, either I'm going to stay in this business or I'm going to get out. And to stay in this business, I think that I need to make a big change. And he was with me on whatever it was. And at that time, you know, I'm a true believer. God puts things in front of you. Right. For some unknown reason, the emails started coming in from a coach. I never had even thought about a coach. So I said, you know, I want to check into coaching. And it was like $500 a month, which was huge. Right. But I made that commitment for a one-year period, and it didn't zoom my income up in the first year, but it gradually kept it up going up. And yeah, but listening to the changes that they wanted me to make, one of those was to focus more on the bigger town closest to me.
And right.
That was a big change.
And to be fair, I mean, that wasn't with me. That was with coach, another coaching organization, what have you, over the years. But at least in that 8-year period, you decided, hey, look, you know, I'm not being able to do it on my own. I'm tired of maybe defining insanity, per se. And I'm ready to offer, you know, ask for some help and make that financial commitment to be able to do that. So very nice. So in your business, what do you think, like in that first 30 years, what do you think were some of the biggest struggles that you personally had to kind of overcome? And we'll talk about the way that you overcame today, but what were some of those big struggles that you feel that you had to overcome in your market?
In the market, you know, it was definitely my location. I've always been a top lister, and of course, if you're a top lister, you're going to be one of the top sellers too. So I would say it was basically location. I raised 4 kids, and this career is a blessing for that, in the fact that right. You can still attend everything that they do. Even though now that they're adults, I hear comments about, you were never their mom. Yeah, right. You know, I was there for everything.
Right.
But that was probably my only obstacles, was location and price range.
But that's inspiring to hear from a veteran like yourself in the business, because that's why a lot of us get into this business. One, it's not our first choice of what we want to do for our career. It's kind of a fallback career, unfortunately, which is one of my personal goals, to try to change. So that way people can, we'll talk about the fluff and other things in a minute, but they'll have a clear direction as far as to be able to make this a reason to get out of high school and want to start selling real estate from that point forward. But you also mentioned, you know, coming from that small town and really not having a lot of inventory, a lot of people, 800 people, that's not a lot to be able to have several realtors in and really kind of crushing it. So that's probably what obviously that income kind of stayed between that 40 and 60,000. So let's kind of fast forward to, you know, now, because I'm excited to really kind of be able to share a lot of things that you've been able to accomplish over these last couple of years. So, you know, what 2, maybe 3 things do you feel that over the last couple of years that you've really made a change in, that really has been the change in your income, because you've far surpassed your $40,000 to $60,000 income. So let's talk about that really quick. What was gross commission, let's say, or net commission, whichever that you have, for last year, and where are we at so far this year?
Oh, okay. Well, like in 2008 when I started coaching.
Sure, you can say that.
Okay. I did 32 transactions.
Okay.
And sold right at $3 million worth of property.
Okay.
And then over the years, that gradually kept increasing until 2015. And then I jumped to 71 transactions for $10.5 million.
Right.
And then a little bit higher in 2016. And then currently right now I'm at 66 transactions at $13 million.
Yep. And you still got 3 months to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that income has definitely skyrocketed in the latter part of your career. So congratulations to you for that. So what are the things that you changed? I mean, what are the kind of the top maybe 2 or 3 things that you really feel that you're like, man, I wish I would have known that for the last 30 years. But what are those key things that you that did kind of click a little bit differently for you?
Mm-hmm. Probably my first coaching. So I'm going to say maybe 6 years ago, it clicked that I needed to be more thankful to God for everything that I have.
There you go.
And to do that each morning, my ritual, I'm not good at exercising, and I love Miracle Morning, but I don't do a lot of that kind of stuff. But I do, right. My Miracle Morning starts with my 10 tens, and that's telling God 10 things that I'm thankful for. And to be honest, pizza's one of them, but I get a lot deeper than that. And then the 10 things that I'm thankful for, I also put that what I'm going to attract for the day. And
right.
And one of the most important things that I also want to attract is working with good, kind, caring, considerate, patient people.
Right. So that morning routine really is. And so you found a morning routine that really kind of works for you. Now, does that mean that you get up at 4:30 in the morning to start this routine?
No.
Exactly.
If I did, I'd have to go to bed at 6.
Right. Exactly. Me too. That's always been something funny to me. You know, you hear a lot of entrepreneurs saying, oh, you got to start your morning at 4:00 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like thinking like, I don't know, but maybe it's my age category, or I don't know, but I don't necessarily want to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So I agree with you. I just want to kind of mention, I didn't know if that was the case or not with you. I was kind of hoping that it wasn't the 4:30 in the morning people, because I'm not in that group at all. But you found a morning routine that works for your schedule, works with your sleep habits. And it obviously, you know, with your 10 things that you're thankful for and the 10 things that you're focused on, you kind of have a goal set for each one of those days for yourself. And it allows you to kind of start off fresh and have a plan of attack each and every day. Is that a fair statement?
That is true.
Absolutely. So a good morning routine. So what else has really changed? Because I mean, you've literally went and like, if I do the numbers right, you've almost quadrupled your income in the last about 5 years or 4 years. If I remember on our last coaching call, we were going over the numbers to the point now where you're almost already at 13 million, which I believe is your biggest year ever this year, right?
Yeah, it will be.
So what are you doing different? Okay. So we got the morning routine part. So in your business, like how do you look at maybe, you know, your business maybe a little bit differently than how you looked at before, or you look at what you're really focused on in your business a little bit differently than you were before? What kind of things like that would have been a change for you?
Other than thanking God, going with the podcast and the coaching, all that mental enthusiasm.
Right.
I mean, that's all that is just pumping you up. And as a kid, I am not athletic. I am a couch potato, if you let me be.
Right.
You know, I'm a little bit overweight. And so I'm not the hiker. I'm not the biker, that type of person. But,
right.
But the mental stuff, just listening to people like you coaching and the podcast, they just do it for me.
Yep. And you've been a student of mine for a little bit over a year, correct? Yep. Okay. So on those things, though, I think there's some other key parts that I know as your coach that you've looked at a lot differently. For one, my favorite saying, which I told you earlier that I found on your website that you're using as well. So describe what that saying is. Do you remember what I was talking about? Describe what that saying is and really what have you done in that regard to be able to kind of protect your time better?
Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the fluff, I take it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, you know, like I was telling you earlier, I'm a black and white person. Sometimes that gets you into trouble because you speak your mind. But I only want to work with good people that are out there to also, it's got to be a win-win for everybody. And I don't like to be in that position. So if it's not feeling right to me, I'm not going to stay in it. You know, I think you have to stay north. Keep your soul going north.
Right.
And sometimes that's not so easy. You have to give up things to do that.
Right.
You know, I have my assistant thinks I'm a Gestapo, I'm sure, because I want things done very professional. I want to just get to the facts and make it happen.
Right. So just get rid of all the fluff and just focus on the black and white, because the fluff needs to be spending time with your kids, your grandkids, yep, your family, and doing different things like that. So that's very good. Or one of your favorite things I know is going to the lake, right? Lake Powell, I believe, is where you like to go.
Lake Powell, so yeah.
Very good. So, okay, so I think there's one other piece, too, as your coach, that I would kind of bring up that I think has changed your perception a little bit. And that is really the reason you're working so hard. So describe like what really is your ultimate goal each year for this last year and this year that you and I have been really working on as far as how we're going to retire and how we're going to exit, you know, the business. But I think that motivation for this exit strategy has really kind of psychologically pushed you, because now you're not working just to make money, but you're working because you know what you kind of retirement that you want to live and the life and the income that you want to be able to do that. So describe to the listeners kind of what that looks like now as well.
That is probably the biggest fear that one will have, is when they're approaching that time frame of retirement. I mean, how much is enough?
Right.
And I think about it all the time, that yet I want to be able to give back. And I'm constantly asking myself, how can I give back? What can I do? Where do I have to be for retirement? Based on those many years of income, we're not a rich family. These last 3 or 4 years have just been an amazing, amazing road for us, and opened up opportunities of buying some rentals. Again, that is not easy either.
I mean, no.
you, yourself, is that the right one? Are we really making money? By the time I put in new carpet on every renter, you know, are you really making any money? So, right. So it's very fearful for me. But over the last 3 years, we've tried to focus on one rental a year, and that's what we're doing. And free and clear, because I don't want to be in a position that I have debt when I retire either.
So define free and clear, because that's a big key. What are you doing to be able to get those properties?
Oh, my business every day. Yeah.
Well, you're writing a check. What I really wanted to make sure people understand is that you're literally working, and you're perfecting your business to be able to obviously have a lot more income than what you've had before, but you're being financially responsible for that income at this point to actually write checks for those rental properties to give you, and then really, if you think about it, when we've talked about this before, it will over time take the pressure off of you to have to perform at such a high level of production, because once that residual income starts getting up to that $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month, then it does take that production pressure off, because you still produce, but a lot of that's already being paid for your normal bills and stuff by your residual income. Mm-hmm. So you've done a great job over the years. So how many rental properties do we have now?
I actually have three for Ed and I by ourselves. And then we had bought, I think we're up to seven rentals with my kids. Because we always wanted to get them into the investment. None of them want to sell real estate, but they're okay with owning real estate.
Right, right. Very nice. Very good. So the goal is at this point that we're working so hard and keeping that motivation going for that income, so that way we can write those checks for those investment properties to give us a retirement plan, so we'll have that passive income on a monthly or yearly basis. So very good. So what advice would you give an agent that may feel, stagnant in their business, may have once been, a top producer, or may have, had a livable income in real estate over years, but just feels like they're not really pushing themselves, not really haven't reached their full capability of really what they're able to be able to do, what their knowledge should allow them to be able to do, but they just haven't been able to get to that extra income, that extra production level and stuff. What can you give them some tips or advice that you would give them as far as maybe some things they should do if they are feeling that way?
Mm-hmm. Probably a couple things. Okay. I definitely would push them towards coaching. I mean, that was, like I said, I'm a couch potato. I never even had a coach as a kid with any sport. So I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea what impact that makes on people. But I think that today's society, sometimes we tend to try to be like our clients, and we can't be, because like I said, I can't do marathons. I can't relate to a person that does those kind of things. And I'm not a smoker or a drinker or a partier. Like I said, I'm pretty boring, but I think the important part that I bring to the table is that I know my market and I know it very well. I'm also persistent. I get told that a lot, and consistent. And most importantly, professional. We've also lost that in our society. I don't like prospecting in person by any means. I'd much rather do it by postcards.
All right.
But I think as far as professionalism and service, I would go number one, coaching. And then number two, know that market. Number three, I would go back to professionalism and service to others. And things like that are like, as your customer, I don't care what your sexuality is. I want professionalism. I have a pet, but I'm not a pet lover to have one with me all the time, because I see a lot of realtors, that they bring their dogs to work, they bring their kids, they bring their smoke laden clothes.
They bring their problems to the table. Dogs. The real estate industry, I think what I'm understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the real estate industry is like, we they're not doing us necessarily a favor. We need to be doing them a favor and respect them for their time and make sure that we know that they are the customer, and we really do have to help that customer. But our presence or the way that we're presenting ourselves doesn't need to be in sweatpants, bringing a dog, you know, other kind of problems or kids or distractions, because that's pulling away. But again, you know, if you probably agree with this too, that's probably those agents that are really like struggling. They don't understand that that's what's really keeping them back, because that's really a squirrel, as you and I know, you know, at the showing or at the listing presentation. And that's something that's pulling that the buyer or the seller's attention away from the agent. So yeah, absolutely. Good point. I mean, that is true though. We do see not a ton, but I do see definitely a lot of agents that are like that. Perhaps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, and I don't want you necessarily, again, this is not a info commercial or anything like that, but you know, I do think it's important with somebody with your history in the business to really understand that even after those amount of years, you know, what can they really expect by having that coach, that accountability person, or a way of that person, that coach, to be able to help them with their strengths and kind of remind them that maybe they do know too much. And so they're a little too fast for their clients. They've got to kind of slow down and let the clients, you know, kind of learn the information over a period of time. We already know what's going to happen 5 steps down the road, but a lot of seasoned agents just go to that fifth step instead of walking that client through that. So, you know, not to harp on coaching as a whole, but what has that done for you personally over the last couple of years that you and I have been working together that has kind of helped you? Because I think that is important for agents that that have been in the business for a while, because that's almost like a slap a little bit in the face. Maybe some agents may feel that way, that it's they're not, what am I trying to say? They're to the point where it's an insult, like they think they already know everything, so they don't really need any help potentially. So maybe you can shed some insight on that as well.
Well, I can tell you that's probably 80% of the realtors, because yeah. I mean, exactly how we feel the older we get probably as well.
Right.
But you know, I've had 3 coaches and not one of them have been bad. They've all produced right. something for me. Obviously our take right now, you've kept me accountable. What was it, 2 calls ago that I told you I thought I was behind on my goals?
Right.
And you penciled it out for me and showed me that I actually was ahead of my goals.
Yeah.
And not just ahead of it financially, but ahead of it with saving time for myself.
Right.
I'm not as stressed. I have more time to play, but yet my production is up. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, coaching has been everything for me.
Yep.
And if they don't have the money to do it, there's coaches out there that give you the opportunity financially to begin so that you can see it. But most importantly, if you're not coachable, like 80% of the realtors might be to start out with, I've had to listen to some of the stuff that you've told me and take it to heart. And just like doing this interview, I fought you on this interview. until you told me that, you know, you need to share your story.
Sure.
And you're right. It's not about me. It's about others, and right. get that mindset going and it'll flow.
Right. Absolutely. All right, cool. So, anything else in closing that you'd like to kind of share with our listeners that you feel that could be some good advice from them? You've obviously sold a ton of real estate over your career. You're having a great successful year at this point last year. And then of course you're still building on this year. I'm super excited to see what you actually accomplish next year, as well. So, and this year's not even over. I think if we calculated it right, you literally have 8 pending transactions or 3 per month, because most listeners probably, if you're not in my coaching, realize this, but your year really ends at the end of November. And your 2018 starts December 1st. And so if that's confusing to you, then you may want to email me. I can help you understand that. But, you know, with that for you, though, that takes the pressure off of you, because you're used to doing 6 to 8 transactions, you know, per month. And so now we talked about some bonus stuff, too. So do you want to kind of share that a little bit?
Well, I'm always excited about November because I like to plan for the next year. So that's like the icing on the cake for me.
Right.
The end and beginning start, but just thank God every day for what you have and share it with others.
Right. And keep your head down and keep the fluff out for that matter
too.
Yes.
Yeah. Try to get on that schedule of prospecting that you tell me to do every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the minimum commitment, right? What do you got to do every day to keep it kind of going? And so, but as long as you follow that and keep your head down, you know, at least then you've got that sense of accomplishment that you did what you needed to do. And then of course, we always coach on trying to do your plus ones from that point forward. So, it's things that we don't really like to do. That's for sure. But mm-hmm. I think you're doing them at a higher level now because you're not doing them to just prospect. You're doing them for a higher reason. And that helps your motivation. So you may not realize that, but that's a way that I'm coaching you a lot of the time is like that. Because nobody, I can't motivate you to go and prospect because I'm going to be honest, I can't motivate myself just to go and prospect. There has to be a higher reason to that prospecting. And for everybody, it's a little bit differently. But once you find it, it's kind of funny that it makes it a little easier because then you'll critique yourself and it takes a little bit of the pressure off of me. But yeah, so absolutely. But hey, I do appreciate you being one of our students. You've done a great success here over the last couple of years that I've had the privilege of working with you and stuff. I look forward to the years to come as well. And if you guys, any of our listeners, ever have any referrals for Southwest Colorado, I believe you do Durango as well and Cortez?
I don't do Durango. Yeah,
out of Cortez, my area. Southwest area there. Reach out to Robin Rice there. She's with Century 21. And Robin, what's your website that they can reach you at?
RobinRiceRealtor.com.
There you go. RobinRiceRealtor.com. Robin, thanks again for your time today. Thanks for sharing your story. And I look forward to connecting with you here shortly on another one of our coaching calls.
Well, David, while I got you, thank you also for being such a well-rounded coach. I mean, you've taken me from accountability through buying investments, and that's pretty well-rounded.
Very cool. I appreciate it. Absolutely, Robin. Have a great day, guys. And if you're listening to today's show and you are maybe in a situation like Robin where you've been an agent, a successful agent for a while, and you would like to maybe talk to somebody about coaching and kind of what that could do for you and what our plan of action would be for you, then reach out. You can reach us at realperch.com or 1-800-916-7325. We'd love to be able to help. My goal is to not make you go broke over coaching, but at the same time, though, hold you accountable enough to be able to reach what it is for you. Because for everybody, it's different. It's not the same. Robin's goals and what motivates her is not going to be the same for you and what you're trying to accomplish in your life. And so we try to take that to heart here at Realperch Real Estate Coaching. So again, I'm your host, David Huffman, here on the Real Talk Real Estate Show. And stay tuned in another couple of days. We'll have another episode for you. Talk to you soon.